Welcome to Career Explorers. It's our podcast here at WHFC where people come for enlightenment when you're seeking information about a career or even switching to a new one. No matter if you're a high school student, a college student, or out there in the big old world today, the more you know, the better. Speaking of enlightenment, our senior population are the keepers of knowledge here in Hartford and the rest of the world, for that matter. Ask them a question, and I bet they've seen and done a few things and can share their experiences with you. But it's inevitable. We need help as we get older, sometimes a lot. And if you're a helpful person and you have a compassionate soul and you realize that our senior population needs to be cared for and looked after, then you might want to consider an occupation in either home health care or a senior living center worker. Our information specialist on the episode today is Jason Colenso. He's the Director for Community Relations at Woodlands Assisted Living Center in Middle River, Maryland. Jason, thanks so much for joining me today on the Career Explorers.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me.
So I just kind of want to, you know, break into it from here. Everyone has a very unique way how they get into certain careers, certain occupations. So talk to me just a little bit about your journey into senior care. How did this come about into your life?
Yeah, so actually from my senior living, currently doing senior living for the Woodlands Assisted Living Community, prior to that, what really led me to travel down this road was actually my clinical background. So prior to senior living, I worked for roughly about 10 years in the physical therapy field as a physical therapist assistant.
Okay.
So I mostly worked in between outpatient and skilled nursing. I'm a little bit in assisted living, but ultimately working a lot with the senior population in the rehab setting and being able to be a part of the plan of care and being able to get someone from post-surgery to get them back home or to get them into an assisted living community was something that I always found to be extremely fulfilling. I can tell numerous stories about great successes that I've seen on the therapy floor, people that have really impressed me, that have really shown that human spirit. And taking those experiences and now transitioning them more on the senior living side, where now I'm focused on specifically the home front and trying to get them comfortable where they are. So leaning on that and being an advocate for families and coming to me at times of distress and asking me questions like, is it safe for mom or dad to stay home? And being able to give them the education to give them some warning signs that if they were to stay home or why it might be a good idea to seek other options is something that I do take from my clinical background. That's something that I lean on significantly. And my goal at the end of the day when it comes to being in senior living is to enrich someone's life for their home front. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Because and you mentioned, you know, because people come to you in rather distressful times. And it is, you know, it's kind of inevitable, the whole aging process, you mm-hmm. know. So, and our seniors, they've, especially these people are parents, you know, our aunts, our uncles. And, you know, sometimes we need places that are there to help us when, you know, we are unavailable ourselves. So let's say I'm considering becoming a senior care facility worker or even a home health care worker. What kind of skills am I looking at needing? What's my education that I'm going to need to have underneath my belt in order to become this occupation?
Sure. So to kind of focus in more on like the senior living aspect. So really there's the nice thing about like my role, for example, is that people come from numerous different backgrounds. So for me, I'm one of the clinical ones. So you'll see others such as some people with nursing backgrounds, some people with social work backgrounds, therapy or rehab backgrounds, sometimes home care backgrounds. find their way, or caregiver backgrounds, and they find their way into more on like the sales and marketing side of things, which is kind of more of like where my focus is with being the director of community relations. So that is actually the really cool part of this role, is being able to connect with people from various backgrounds, because if we all serve the greater good, there's certainly merit in being able to bounce off, you know, ideas off of each other.
Absolutely.
And to be able to make those connections in the community, you know, given the role is, and just to be able to expand on the types of, you know, the knowledges, or the knowledge that I have is something that I really enjoy about the role and being able to interact with people. But to kind of answer your question a little bit more, like in terms of like the education piece and everything like that, some communities don't really have a set education requirement or background, like, and then others may have like a four-year degree, bachelor's degree, something like that, but non-specific. Sales experience is preferred, but not always required. Those are always things that can be taught. But the one thing that I think that people that ultimately are successful in doing this role is empathy. Being able to form mutual understanding of someone's current situation is what's going to make someone successful in a role such as this. To be able to know how that person coming to you feels distressed and is coming to you at a stressful time in their life. Like being able to come down to that level and communicate with them and be able to be that resource at that time, above all else, above like your sales skills, above any technical marketing skills you might have, and all of those things are great. But at the end of the day, you have to have the people skills and the empathy and the connection, or else all the other things are not going to be all that worth it. So that's really what we're trying to drive home, especially at the Woodlands community, is having that strong management, having that strong rapport with the community, and seeking out those resources to better our residents and to better their experience, because now their life is that much more fulfilled if they have more things to look forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was just about to ask, too, you mentioned empathy. I imagine you really do, because, you know, you're working with people. So people skills obviously has to be a really, really big life skill in order for you to take on this kind of a role, I should say. Now, what are some other life skills that maybe you would recommend to a person that's seeking this kind of a career?
Again, you can't go wrong with the sales and marketing skills. That's really going to be a good foundation. So anybody looking to say, like, you know, how do I really improve, you know, quickly, it's definitely to sharpen those and know that the two go hand in hand. Marketing feeds sales, and it's a bit of a cycle, and it's really interesting. So in terms of that, your sales and marketing, you can't go wrong. Your ability to network is huge for this role. It's a lot of who you know, and it's a way to problem solve. Even if it's not necessarily going to benefit you immediately, you still are providing the greater good, and know that with the law of reciprocity, that it will return back to you. So just being able to network has been a huge asset for me. And I can tell you, and this can be an aside or a part of it for people that are looking to get in this role, posting on LinkedIn frequently is been a vital asset for me. And this is something that if people ask me, like, is there something I could do professionally? Right there is, do it consistently, do it about, you know, your profession, but also things that you love, because people know, like, and trust people, because businesses and communities like the Woodlands, we are built on people.
Right.
So being able to put that out there. So if you're looking to, you know, get into a role such as mine, something similar, definitely, you know, put that personal brand out there. Start to make those network connections. It doesn't hurt. Even if you're still kind of contemplating, like, maybe I might want to, maybe I don't. I don't know yet, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt because it's still your story, no matter where, what path you end up. But if ultimately, it's going to be important for you to establish those people connections. So the ability to network right behind those other two, like sales and marketing skills, are going to be huge for you to be successful.
I keep on hearing this too, LinkedIn, you know? I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I'm just getting into things like LinkedIn, but I hear what you're saying, networking, 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 because, and that's one of the things we tell our students also, because it's, you can learn things on the job, right? But a lot of times, you know, you want to be able to know the people in order to help you out. You know, it's a lot of his word of mouth and knowing people. So you hear that, everyone listening here, attending HCC Network while you're in college, especially because it's a big thing. You know, don't underestimate that that networking capabilities. And LinkedIn is one of those places, you know, where you can, because once you start making connections with people, you can view those connections as well. So networking, it's never understated enough. And, you know, and I want to also, while we're talking about networking, other things that are crucial for students at this time is internships. So tell me, I mean, you're coming, you know, at it from like the community aspect, you know, from like you said, a sales and a marketing perspective. Let's say that I'm looking to get into this field, you know, home healthcare and or assisted living. Is internships a big part of this program? Are internships a big part of this career?
You do see, so depending on the community. So for example, some communities will have, you know, they might have a bigger campus. They might have multiple buildings. They might have a few other moving parts involved that are a bit more like middle management. So there's a bit more involved when it comes to that, when it comes to those sort of things that, you know, there's different expectations that kind of go sort of all along with that in terms of getting into that sort of role. But in terms of like kind of like where I'm at like the community level, for example, a lot of people will move up within the organization. So a lot of people will start off as like caregivers, CNAs, GNAs, LPNs, different medical assistants, start there and then gradually work their way up. They might sidetrack into activities, do some stuff with recreation. Some might venture off into dietary. They might go into the kitchen. So a lot of times what you'll see too in terms of like people kind of getting into it, and really in terms of like the internships and like the opportunities, there's different trainings in different areas that can help you improve your skills and the process needed to get into the role specifically. It doesn't hurt either to do shadowing. It doesn't hurt to come into a community and just kind of see how the day-to-day is, because I think spending time watching is beneficial too. That's something I did when I was in school. We had to observe different professions, but I think that's always a good option to come and spend the morning or come and spend a whole day just seeing if this is something that you truly want, because sometimes we put a picture in our heads, and this is something that I'm trying to work on in terms of perception and with assisted living. You know, sometimes you have a certain image of your head of like what it might be, and then you go for the day and it's something completely different.
Sure.
And I can tell you from assisted living is that people are often pleasantly surprised, especially with the Woodlands and where what the work that we're doing. We're really trying to change the perception coming in. And that's what will help us to improve not only the community, but the profession, because if people see that it's not just the doom and gloom, that we're really trying to enrich people's lives, that it is a nicer segue towards getting into the field.
And I really like what you were mentioning earlier, because it sounds like there really is some areas to move around in this field, you know. So I like what you mentioned there, Jason, earlier about, you know, people are coming from different walks of life. People have different occupations when they're first starting, and that they move up. So it sounds like there is room to move up in this field.
Yes, and depends on the roles that you want to do too. So if there's within an organization, if you wanted to branch off and do something different, it'd always be good to start at that rung. You know, like if you're looking to get into dining, you would want to start as like a dietary aide or helping out on the floor with serving meals. Same thing in kind of my role. Again, a lot of people come from more of like the care side, and they move up as well. So there is a good amount of growth and opportunity. So, you know, like at my level, say like there's like the director level, and then the next would be like the regional level. And then from there, it's corporate or VP. So you start to really branch out and move up if you stay the course and you're successful. Not only can you make a lasting impact, you can really make a great living for yourself and for your family.
That's a great point, because what's one of the things that people really want to know if they're thinking of, you know, switching careers, or even if they're that first-time student, they're looking to go into a career, they want to know, am I going to be able to provide for myself? Mm-hmm. You know, I have a family. Mm-hmm. Some of our students have kids of their own, you know, and they're like, I got to think about the long term. So it definitely sounds like there's not just mobility, but, you know, we're talking cost of living wage, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's favorable. And I have to say that if people are looking at opportunity coming up in the next 5 to 10 years, that senior living in of itself is a hotbed. The communities are being put up at a, you know, fairly fast rate. The growth is there. There is a large number of our baby boomer population that is aging, and that is a significant part of the kind of the next wave of residents that we see coming into communities. So there is, to college students that might be overlooking senior living, you might want to reconsider. And there is a lot of room for having some youth input in terms of a lot of, and especially a lot of the digital presence.
Really?
Absolutely. I think that senior living, and they're doing great, you know, and this is one of the things that we're doing at, like, say, at the, you know, the Woodlands. We're highlighting residents, we're highlighting stories, we're really telling you, like, what's going on in the community. We're really trying to reach out and make those connections. We're not looking to build a big following. That's an entirely different subject matter. What we want to do is create impact, and what we do is highlight people's stories. And that's something that the younger generation who wants to consider senior living would be a huge fit for in the marketing sense, because you are more adapted to the current technology. You know more of the trends. You know really what's out there, and more a better sense than someone that's a bit more removed. So the youth can come in with a different set of eyes and provide that expertise that you may not have seen. So I see a lot of opportunity on the digital side for the younger generation to get involved in senior living and to be able to start telling these stories of our grandparents, and to be able to put it out there in a way that people really truly resonate with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that sounds, you know, for that marketing student, for that journalism student, it sounds like there's a lot of digital and writing opportunities that's coming up in the field.
Absolutely. There really is. There's podcasts popping up. There's different.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's.
Really?
Yep. There's different podcasts popping up for senior living. I know of a couple of them that are doing well. I've done in the past, I've done live stream myself, something that I will be bringing back at the Woodlands as part of my marketing push as well, is to do more of like the live stream and presentations like that, bringing in local professionals. So there's definitely a lot of different platforms to use to your advantage that can really push forward something great. So
yeah, because I mean, what you're describing, you know, this is all digital media. Mm-hmm. You know, and mass communication students, there you go, you know, so there sounds like there's some tie-ins for those younger youths coming in, you know, into this profession.
Absolutely. There's a lot of room for that, and because there's a lot that's needed for community awareness. We need to do something about the appearance of, say, like assisted living, where it's not looked at as so, in a sense, like kind of gravely, as depressing, as sad, as a lot of people think of it that way. And more of like actually part of the outside community, and just being like, well, that's where grandma lives. She's over here in apartment, you know, so-and-so.
Right.
And to just change the perception would be a huge win. And that's something that we're continually working on. But that's something that as the profession and as of the really the career, is something that we're always focusing on, is trying to change those viewpoints that people have had for so long about living arrangements like this. So there's a lot of room for mass communication to really push forth the next great narrative when it comes to senior living.
Well, that sounds like you're charging this next generation with a task there, and it sounds like there's some opportunities also for them when they're getting out of college. And that's one of the reasons why we have Career Explorers, the podcast, you know, because we need these insider kind of looks into jobs and into different careers. Because like you said, there are so many different tie-ins, you know, especially in the here and now, and we don't know until we talk about these kinds of things. I mean, definitely, moreover, it sounds like a lot of opportunities, room to move around in the field, and, you know, you can support yourself, you know. And let's not forget, I mean, you're helping to take care of our seniors, our senior population, which, like you said, you know, it's growing, you know. And let me just ask this next question to you, just kind of piggybacking off of that a little bit. And it might be hard to quantify, but we'll give it a go. Can you kind of describe for me, maybe in your own words, Jason, the role that senior care is playing in the world today?
Oh, it's playing a massive role. People don't understand, and it's not only because of the resident, not just the resident. The resident's going to get the medical care. They're going to make sure that they get their daily medications, that they're getting their meals every day, that they're taken care of, they're being showered, they're helped with dressing, bathing, all of these sort of things. But one thing that people don't realize with senior care, that one of the huge benefits is for the caregiver, the family. And what people don't realize is how much stress is on, say, like a son or daughter or a spouse when True. They're taking care of a loved one in the situation that might need additional medical care and or even oversight. And, you know, you see it where relationships can be tough to maintain given these new demands. So being able to come to me and being like, how fast can we do this? And I tell them, really, we can get it done pretty quickly. So long as we have a few of these, you know, paperwork things lined up and we can get things moving, we can have you breathing a huge sigh of relief. The other day I had a woman who came to us, whose mother moved into our community and she was very nervous about everything, you know, just the whole experience. But, you know, at the end, and all was said and done and finally agreed, this is what we're going to do. This is mom's new home. And she, you could see it. She breathed that she was like, can I give you a hug? And she was like kind of exasperated in a way, but I was like, of course, you know, and just being able to, the value of that, like just that exchange was huge. And that's what we're trying to do. Is not only for the resident, not only for their care, for their well-being, but also for the family too, because we take them into consideration and how can we be a catalyst to improve their lives.
So you've given me so much information here today, and I think really one of my last few questions is, let's say I've taken that step, right? I'm like, okay, I'm going to be working in senior care. You know, this is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to be, you know. I'm that, you know, compassionate soul, and I want to help out our seniors and I want to care for them. Can you take me a little bit through like maybe like the day to day? I know it might depend on the role, mm-hmm. but I mean, you can take me through like maybe a day in the life of an assisted living.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, just to kind of paint a little overview. So I'll just kind of run through kind of quickly about the basics and, you know, to kind of, you know, give you the layout. So essentially, like, so for my role, for example, so I'm looking for new residents to move to the community. So sure. That's really my big objective, as well as getting our awareness up. So that is really my big role and summed up pretty quickly. So that's really kind of how I operate. So that's divided up between outreach in terms of meetings with potential professional referral partners and other senior providers in the area, and then as well as taking calls, because sometimes people just call in, hey, can I do a tour? Cool. So you have to be a little bit flexible. You do have to have that flexibility, but you also have to stay focused, because sure. I've learned that in the role, it's not, you know, and to contrast that, so look at more of like a medical provider. So we'll look at like a CNA or a GNA. They have a specific list of residents that they care for every day who each have specific demands. So their schedule has to be a bit more, not per se like super fixed, but it does follow a bit more of a structure because it's pretty well set. And that's kind of how they do their thing. And then as opposed to me, where it's a bit more flexible, but I'm tackling a few different objectives as well. We have, again, our dietary team helping out with the meals and making sure that there's proper nourishment there for our seniors, as well as helping out with catering with any special events that we do in the community, as that we are presently doing. We have our activities team, who has a pretty set schedule of activities throughout the day. They schedule that a month ahead of time. So they set up the schedule, they deliver the programming, and this is all focused on physical, emotional, mental, spiritual avenues. So that way we're trying to really get to our residents in a variety of ways, so that way we can promote healing and promote happiness and promoting kind of like that feeling of centeredness, so to speak. So that's really like the activities part. Obviously nursing with your distribution of medications and the oversight and making sure that our residents are doing okay on a day-to-day basis, that they're staying stable and everything's okay with that. So, you know, business office, making sure everything's flowing and everybody's happy and everybody's turning in their timesheets and everything's good. And, you know, maintenance is, you know, they're kind of in the background, but they hold it all together. So they're making sure our community's staying good and making sure that the community upkeep is great. There's, you know, and I apologize for anybody that I miss on this rattling off list, you know, but, you know, like memory care. So that's like, you know, our Alzheimer's and dementia unit, I guess, so to speak.
Sure.
And they have their staff who specifically for memory care and dealing with these diagnoses and different sets of programming that would promote more Alzheimer's friendly and try to promote growth within that spectrum. And then there's at the top of the list is our executive director, who is basically, she's the boss and oversees the community and makes sure that we're all doing our jobs, and you know, trying to steer our community in the right direction. And we are truly a cohesive unit at the community. I feel really strongly about our group. I feel really strongly about Chancellor Healthcare, who is our managing team, and they're a fantastic resource for us. So we are, you know, we feel very strongly about the mission that we provide for our seniors.
Sounds like there's a whole lot of people that come together every single day of the week, because it's 24/7, right? I mean, it's 7 days a week, you know, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year, right? And they're all coming together every day to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
So if I leave us with this, you know, because you have some insider information, you know, you know a day in the life, you know what you do, you see what other people that you work with at the senior care facility does. So what is some of that insider knowledge that into the business that you would want other people to know that you know now coming into the business?
Specifically for my role, I would just advocate two things. You have a strong sense of empathy and an incredible ability to network. If I can offer two things, those would be it. Like, if I'm keeping it really simple, and empathy is going to be the driver for everything else. That is the base of our relationships that we build, not only with our residents, but also with families, with our community partners, with other medical providers that we have outside that we might contract with. So having empathy and understanding how all of this operates kind of under an umbrella, really, in this sort of cycle, it's this sort of, you know, huge sense, really.
Sure.
This big operation, and knowing how it all ties together and having that deep sense of empathy for other people and for other roles that play a huge part in this. Because, like, for example, like, I have all the respect in the world for nurses coming from the rehab world, because the nursing teams have a lot to deal with. They are the ones making those tough calls to families. They're the ones that are up at 3 a.m. doing checks. Those are the ones that are, you know, are really at the front and center of patient care. So nursing has my highest amount of respect. So empathy, above all else, I think, is a key driver. And then having a strong sense of networking, because it opens doors. It opens opportunities, not just for, like, the business person, you know, bottom lines, and all of that's great, and that's, you know, obviously fantastic, but to be able to have the resources for our seniors to reflect on the offerings that our community has, and to know at the end of the day that because we were able to get out there and put the name out there and to meet people and to put all these wheels in motion now results in something that we look back on and we're like, all right, you know, the residents here are going to have a really awesome time. And that's what we walk into every day. It's like, how do we keep getting better? And through networking, you know, to new ideas, to new perspectives, to new technology, to new thoughts, to new, you know, really new ideas. So continually opening up new possibilities to, and ushering in those things to senior living is a big thing. So I would say above all else, empathy, networking, get those things down. You'll do very, very well.
I want to thank my information specialist today on the show, Jason Colenso. He's the Director for Community Relations at Woodlands Assisted Living, for coming on to the podcast, giving us a look into this growing field. Jason, I want to thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you so much for this opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
If you want to pursue this for a career, you have now a look inside for yourself. A lot of different places that you could be here in this growing field of senior care. Please like and subscribe all three of HCC's official podcasts, HCC 360, Feedback, and this one, WHFC Presents. For Career Explorers, I'm Matt Terry. Until next time, don't stop learning and stay curious, Hartford.